Nomination.
The question today concerns how we can get information from our bodies without all the storm and the strife and disease and difficulty. It seems like we have to learn the hard way. We have to work too long and too hard and then get a cold to take us down for a while so we rest. Or we overuse certain muscles and then the body rebels and gives us pain, and we have to learn moderation the hard way. So we're wondering if Claude could give us an idea about how to access information from our body in a clearer fashion, in an easier fashion, a more harmonious fashion, so that we don't have to go through the difficulties and the disease, the strife and trouble of learning the hard way.
We are those of the principle known to you as Ikuo. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we are. We thank you for calling us to your group this afternoon. We thank each of you for making those arrangements necessary in order to be able to join the group. The desire and the hope for truth that you bring to the circle is beautiful to see. We enjoyed listening to your song for tuning and find many of the thoughts in this song helpful for this particular subject of working with the various elements of your mind, body, and your spirit in order to continue the revolving solution of issues that constitutes a major force in the movement of learning and the transformation of catalyst into experience. As we speak, we ask only one thing, and that is that each of you distinguishes for yourself the resonance and the helpfulness of those thoughts we offer. For truth is a personal thing, and we do not expect or hope to hit the mark every time for everyone. Consequently, we just ask that those thoughts of ours which do not help are quickly left behind. The song asked the question, what if God were one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. My friends, this is your situation. Each of you, in the core of your energetic body, is the creator. Each of you is completely and wholly, at the heart, the creator. You are one with all that there is. At the level of the heart of your being, there is no difference between you and the creator and all that there is. There is only an infinite amount of difference in each heart of the Creator's view or perception of the scenery. There are infinite illusions. There are infinite impressions to be gathered within each creation. Consequently, the entire journey of awareness from the first expression of light through all densities of an octave until light itself becomes absorbed once again in spiritual gravity is a journey home. And each of you is an energy system centered upon the Creator, but full of your personality shell, your experiences, and the incoming catalyst that has your attention, is attempting, each in her own way, to make her way home. It is a journey that will transcend the particular period of time you experience now, the entire lifetime in which each of you now enjoys the dance of life, and all lifetimes and experiences between lifetimes that add up to the circle dance of becoming, being, and being absorbed once again into absolute unity. The particular place that you now occupy is a physical, electrochemically based illusion. Which has much more heft and mass than the densities that are ahead of you. But yet shares with the densities that are ahead of you the open book of self-awareness. And all that that brings. The third density, then, is a hinge density where the evolution of mind and body becomes the evolution of mind, body, and spirit. There is still much that is and can only be learned physically. In the muscles, the bone, and the blood. The illusion was set up so that there would be unavoidable physical experiences that would distort and shape the learning and the service of incarnation. Some of the more obvious of these examples are the sexual urge and the urge for companionship. The body, the mind, and the spirit find themselves sometimes uneasy allies in the third density illusion, attempting to integrate sources of information and kinds of information that are coming into the body, mind, and emotional systems. And many times, as the members of the circle have discussed, there are missed signals that, when missed, result in becoming overstressed and developing injuries, or becoming overtired and developing colds. We would start by suggesting that it is not considered a mistake by those looking at the third density from inner planes or from higher planes for entities within incarnation, within the illusion, to miss the signals before they move into the body. It is considered to be normal behavior for third density. What each of you is beginning to sense into and beginning to wish for the self is the kind of facility and skill at reading the energy system that would be available without the veil. So the question becomes how to penetrate the veil of forgetting that lies between the conscious awareness of the intellect and the mind that is the daylight mind, and the vast reaches of the mind that lies below the threshold of consciousness, and that eventually takes in all that there is and the Creator. The song, What If God Were One of Us, goes on to muse upon the situation that the deity faces. There's no one calling him on the phone, except for the Pope, maybe, in Rome. And this is certainly true within the illusion. This is the blindness of the situation that each of you is experiencing, that is often so very maddening to the daylight mind. That the signal function of subconscious body is not working as it would very naturally in higher densities or between incarnations. The body must exceed natural boundaries in order for these subconscious sources of information more fully to be able to come into the conscious mind. Phone lines must be installed, in other words. And these are not the telephone lines of a linear space-time configuration that one could rig in any physical way or mechanically place within the body or within the mental system of the mind in order to get that signal system to work. That signal system is not intended to work in space-time. However, each of you has a portion of self in time-space. The metaphysical identity of the self beyond the personality shell exists in time-space. When each of you achieves pure being, when you are expressing your essence, you are in time-space. That is where the effortlessness comes from, when you are moving into the metaphysical universe. It is simply a shift in creations. Instead of the space-time universe, where certain truths are held to be so, now you have entered a metaphysical universe, where thoughts have become things, and you have become a thought. Space has gone away, time as you know it has gone away, but identity, energy focus, and power have most certainly not disappeared, but indeed have become clarified and illuminated by the underlying glow of creation in which all essence is held. The singer went on to suggest that God is great. God is good. Yeah. Yeah. And this is one way to move into the metaphysical universe. Focus upon devotion is a metaphysical or time-space focus. And when the choice of the seeker is first to move into devotion and devotional principles such as thanksgiving and praise, there begins to be established a point of view or an attitude which automatically links the seeker with its own subconscious or metaphysical mind. And in this attitude or construct of metaphysical being, the connections become stronger and information moves into the conscious mind ever more quickly with iteration and experience, until you are responding to better information and are finding a less troubled outer existence, where instead of being surprised by your limitations, you are responding to them in loving awareness of them. We find in this channel's own experience that this particular entity has come through a week of having a chest cold, and that it blames itself for not remembering that it needed more rest during times when a lot of group energy was being expressed in its environment. There were, of course, reasons for this instrument's forgetting that it knew that lesson. There was a perfectly valid reason that this entity subconsciously chose to have the experiences that would also cause it to go beyond its limitation and get the cold. And we confirm that not only for this instrument, but in each case where a limit has been overstepped and seeming disaster occurs, this is not a mistake. This is as it should be. For catalyst was gained, as the one known as Steve said, during the excessive activity. That could not have been gained by acting in a balanced manner. In other words, it is not the business of those who come into incarnation upon a third density planet to be right, to be balanced, or to be perfect. Actually, each of you is here to go through the suffering, the pain, and the difficulties because of the refining and purifying and even chiseling aspects of the transformative process whence catalyst becomes experience. The basic tool for each application of practice that will yield better connections within the energy body is silence. We have said this in so many ways through the years, through this instrument, that we are aware that each of you is fully knowledgeable that we will talk about meditation or some other way of entering into and absorbing the information of silence. For silence is full of information, as the one known as Donnell said, the very stars each have their song. All things in creation have their tune, and all blends in a marvelous harmony of the spheres that is endless and endlessly beautiful. But this beauty exists for the metaphysical entity that is attempting to begin the processes of spiritual evolution. In the bare bones of silence. Whether it be the meditation of one who exercises or walks in nature, or whether it be the more formal practices of meditation or contemplation or visualization, or whether even it is a practice that uses the everyday things of a normal life and work day to repeatedly center the self in moments of remembrance, the basic tool is silence, is a moving into the consciousness of listening within. You see, the information that is within the metaphysical portion of the body has its reflection in the feel and color of the energy of each chakra. And there are increasingly subtle levels of perception about the energy system of the chakras and the connections between the chakras that will give fairly specific information about energy levels and where stress is and so forth. However, it is not the work of a short time to awaken the ability to read one's own psychic signature. There is a process of learning to visualize the system in some way that gives to the self fairly accurate information that can only be developed through a long period of time and experimentation with ways of visualizing and ways of interpreting what you have seen when you do the visualization process. But whether you get the information from devotion, or from the silence of meditation, or from work with balancing the energy system of the body and asking it questions, or from hearing familiar sounds like the electronic beeps of the computer or telephone, and using that beep to bring the self back to remembrance of who it is. The basic key is to move into the silence and allow it to give its information and to do its transformative work. When one can work with the metaphysical structures that support life in third density incarnation, then one can work better with the direct experience of that incarnation as well. What if God were one of us? Just a slob, like one of us. That is the situation. You are on a journey. You are a very young God. The journey has just begun. And there are many experiences through which you shall travel before you arrive home. But we may say this, each of you and each of us is held in loving arms, and every step that each of us takes is accompanied by those spirits who love us and wish only to help us. We encourage each to lean into the support that lies within. And we encourage each to realize more and more the divinity of the imperfect self and the utter acceptableness of the imperfect self. It is possible, if it is desired by a seeker, to enter into what this instrument would call body work. And with a practitioner, it is possible for a seeker to locate the places within the body's system of musculature and skeletal connections and skin and all else, those places of disharmony and conflict within the body. For the body carries memory in each of its cells, and each time that there is pain and sorrow, each time there is anger and resentment, each time there is any emotion that we could name to you, it is generally not so clearly expressed or so completely acknowledged that it simply moves through the energy system and out. Usually a portion of the suffering of a moment will indeed move into the cellular structure of the body. For many entities, it will settle in parts of the body that will talk to the body about what is occurring. If there is a sore back, it is sore from bearing the burden. If it is sore arms, they are sore from carrying too much. If there is the sore jaw that this instrument experiences, perhaps it is biting down on those things that it would say if it decided to allow itself to express itself in an unpleasant manner. In each case where there are discomforts and pains within the body, it is not simply that they are telling you what limitation you have gone beyond. They are also expressing the nature of a limitation and what kind of catalyst has brought the imbalance that is now being experienced. In extreme cases, the body signals can include dysfunction that causes a change in the entire life. And again, this is often set into motion by those forces within the body, mind, and spirit, which are connected with choices made before incarnation concerning the lessons and the service that have been hoped to encompass in one incarnation. It was an interesting question to ask, and we have greatly enjoyed playing with it, but as you may well realize, we have only scratched the surface. So if you wish to question further, that is certainly acceptable to us. At this time, we would transfer the contact to the one known as Jim in order that further questions may be asked if there is a desire. We thank this instrument and would leave it in love and in light. We are those of Atul.
In love and in light, through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which those present may have for us. Is there another query at this time?
I have a couple questions. First have to do with the last time you're with us. I guess I'm kind of curious to see if you've done any homework. There was a question asked that you did not have the answer to as far as the relationship with the moon and the sun, the earth. Since you did not have the answer to that this time, last time, do you have it this time?
I am Kwa, and am aware of your query, my brother. And there are some mysteries that last for longer than a week. And indeed, this is the case for us. Is there another query at this time?
I would be interested in having you find the answer, search the answer. You have, I guess, many resources of various densities that you may pursue that question. I guess I'd be interested in knowing the answer, not so much as the answer, but I would be curious to find out how you go about and who you may have talked with to find that answer. I'll leave that for now, and I'll query you next time. The other question, there were many equipment failures, the TV, stereo, I think even the next day, the power transformer was blue. Could you tell us what was the reasoning or what was going on last week to cause these problems to occur?
I am Kwa, and am aware of your query, my brother. Though there was much of the excitement and energy, as it is called, moving through this group and many others in that time period of a week ago, it would be normal to expect that these energies would affect a great many people, and we feel this was so for most of the entities who gathered here for the sharing of self with self. It is oftentimes during such gatherings that the mysterious occurs. And though we would like to add to the feeling of mystery, for it is a pleasant experience to feel that one's energies have had an effect upon the environment about one. We see that the failure of various electrical devices was simply coincidence. Is there a further query, my brother?
Yes, my last question, I thought about. When I read and hear people talk about remembering what they did past lives, why don't they ever remember or know what they did in between the past lives?
I am aware of your query, my brother. The experience that is had by those who have moved through an incarnation and who are in the time-space equivalent of the space-time illusion in which the incarnation was experienced go through a process which is most informative to a mind-body-spirit complex totality. However, many of these experiences taking place on the, shall we say, other side of the veil are of a nature which is difficult to access during an incarnation. However, there are some few who are able to do this. The number, however, is quite small. Smaller even than those who feel they are aware of previous incarnations, and we would suggest that the number of entities who are aware in an accurate sense of previous incarnations is much smaller than is believed. For the experience of remembering a previous incarnational experience is one which has a certain attractive glow to it, shall we say. It is in fashion to remember previous to the incarnation. We would suggest, however, that very few do remember any incarnation in an accurate way previous to the present one. So that the ability to remember either the incarnation previous to this one or the experience between incarnations previous to this one is quite, quite rare. For each entity wishes that the veil of forgetting will indeed do what it does, and that is to make a complete block of all experience previous to the present incarnation, in order that the present incarnation might be the sole focus of attention at this time. It is in such a situation that lessons are more purely and efficiently learned. If incarnations were able to be mixed, shall we say, so that memories of various incarnations bled through into the current incarnation, the lessons and catalysts of the current incarnation would be diluted in such a fashion as to reduce the efficiency of learning. Is there a further query, my friend?
That's interesting. No, that's the queries I have for this time. Thank you.
I am Corwin. We thank you, my friend, for your query. Is there another query at this time?
I wondered if I could follow up on a couple of Steve's things, because my mind is working on them. I was wondering, rather than focusing on the size of the sun versus the moon in actuality as opposed to our perception of it, to look at the question another way, to say, are there reasons that free will is involved in not answering this question? Because it feels like one of those full stops that you come up against when you're asking a question as part of your learning process. That's what it feels like. you know, there's no hint. I just wondered if it was a free will problem.
I have a quote, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. In this case, this is not so.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual coincidences that do indeed have meaning and may be pursued in various layers of uncovering the nature of the truth beneath them. In other instances, we find there is simply coincidence, and that the coincidence is mechanical and unimportant in nature. Into this category, this falls for us.
I see.
Is there another clue for my sister?
Yeah. The other follow-up question had to do with a lot of people remembering things, remembering previous incarnations. I'll give you two examples. After I went through regressive hypnosis, I remembered a lot of different details in real sparkling detail, you know, just like I had seen it, of a life lived on another planet and a whole lifestyle. A friend of mine says that she remembers being an Egyptian god named Sekhmet. Now, I tend to have more trust in my experience than I have in this other gal's experience because of the sharpness of my own memories, but she has the same kind of sharp memory. And yet I really don't feel that I could bank on either one of our memories being accurate. And I wondered what these false images were that weren't actual lifetimes that we think that we remember, or the relationships we think came through from another incarnation. Are they simply false echoes? Or, you know, where there's nothing there and we're seeing a blip on our radar? Or are they shadows that tell us something about ourselves even though they don't pierce the veil? You know, what's the nature of these things? Is there any use to them at all? Or should we just discard them?
I have a quote, and am aware of your query, my sister. In the specifics of this particular query, we cannot answer in a definitive in nature, for we are desirous of not infringing upon free will. However, in the general run of the query, we may suggest that importance which is placed upon the memory, however accurate or faulty it might be, is that quality of essence, the importance which a person places upon a supposed memory of a previous incarnation, gives a person an idea of something of value resting there, taking a form as it will, being revealed as it is, being understood or misunderstood as it is. These are the facets of the gem of the incarnation. Seeing that which is of importance to the mind, to the emotion, to the spirit, to the body. This gives the self information from the self, and it is unimportant as to whether or not this is an accurate memory. It is only important because the person feels it is so.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another query?
I really like that answer, by the way. I appreciate that, and I do have one more question all on my own. The saga of I finished writing the Wanderer's Handbook some time ago, and it turned out to be a manuscript of about 1,280 pages. And my editor now thinks that one of two things will happen. Number one, it should be published as it is with a good introduction explaining why the length of the book is important and why it's necessary. Or number two, that it needs to be edited down to about half its length and a lot of the quotes from channeled entities such as yourself replaced with what is supposedly a simpler and less convoluted language of me writing as myself. I'm aware that you have no feeling that you have a say in how long it should be, but I would welcome any comments that you would have at this editing point that we're at now.
I am close, and am aware of your query, my sister, and again, we must apologize for invoking the great way of confusion, for we do not wish to influence you in this matter. It is one which is built upon the foundation of freedom. We are happy to serve however we may. Is there another query?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
I am Kwa. We thank you once again, my sister. Is there another query at this time? Since we are aware of no further queries at this time, we would take this opportunity to thank each present once again for inviting us to join your circle of seed this day. We are known to you as those of Kwa. We leave each in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator by the name, my friends, by the name.